Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we are wrapping up the Shrek franchise for now.
Yes.
For now, Mason.
Yes.
And I say for now
because
we'll talk more about more Shrek later,
oh,
more
for
things.
For now.
And for now also. We had a discussion before this started about what this movie was called.
You thought it was Shrek Goes Forth, but you're thinking of Blackadder.
I am thinking of Blackadder, yeah. But this movie asked the question, well, two things. Can you leave a like on this video? It was very ahead of its time.
Mm.
And the second one is, what if Shrek hated his family enough to change the entirety of space and time? What if he wanted to stumble into some kind of weird Back to the Future 2 scenario where Biff took over Hill Valley?
An injustice kind of situation. I like
is.
To think of it as.
Yeah, no, the one thing I said.
This one obviously is about like how utterly terrible it is to be famous and beloved and have it all boo-hoo. You know? To just still not be happy.
Yeah.
I think there's something broken in you, Shrek.
That's certainly true. I think, though, at least he figures it out really quickly that he fucked up.
Uh-huh.
Like, almost immediately. He has his little fun montage, which I really enjoyed. I loved the bit where he infiltrated a wedding.
I've got a note here. It says, Shrek must have gotten legally married to that random man. Because we cut in on that scene when they're going in for the kiss. So they must have said, I now pronounce you man and wife.
He was doing the voices.
Yeah.
He must have been, right?
But I think, in a way...
Where's the woman gone?
Ada, probably.
Oh, yeah, he probably did, yeah.
And those eyeballs for his martinis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, like, I feel probably if you didn't recognise that your wife had been killed and eaten and replaced with a Shrek,
yeah,
that marriage probably wasn't going to work out anyway.
I don't know, maybe he picked a woman who had, like, the exact stature that he had.
That's a good point, yeah.
He's not an idiot, Mason.
He's not.
I mean, he did this.
He's an idiot. So in this one, obviously, you know, he's got the perfect life. He's married and he's got three beautiful children and everybody loves him. But then he's like, oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
I don't like how tough this is and people aren't scared of me no more. And sometimes the kids they're yelling and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, just get you know, a babysitter and have a weekend away.
A dirty weekend away.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that's valid.
A muddy weekend away.
He's surrounded by the people who love him and a dragon and, like, freak donkey children and all that. And that cat with a sword, who I love, Mason, you know that. And, yeah, also, why is he, like, yuck, dirty nappies? That seems like something you would eat.
Yeah.
why is that the line for you?
That's right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, he...
Like a dog will eat its own vomit, I feel like Shrek would eat a dirty nappy.
His own child's poo.
Yes.
Yeah, wow, okay. I'd not thought about it, but I think you're probably absolutely right.
I haven't mentioned yet.
It's like living in a chocolate factory.
Exactly. I haven't mentioned yet, but I think this is really good.
I thought it was pretty fun
as well. I think it's way better than the other one.
It's a step up from
the last one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, he makes a deal with Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep. Returning villain, by the way. He was in the last one.
Was he?
He's one of the villains in the bar. He looks nothing like him, but it's a different voice. Maybe there was some time dilation, Back to the Future stuff going on with him as well.
Why would you trust that dirty little rat man?
I know.
Honestly, look at it. Just look at him.
Yeah.
Anyway, he makes a deal with him and Shrek ends up erasing the day he was born and then no longer exists. And the world turns into like a as you said, an Injustice-style universe.
Not what I said. Also, you said Flashpoint, didn't you?
No, I said Injustice.
Oh, well,
you're thinking of a different reality in which I said Flashpoint.
I guess Flashpoint is also relevant, isn't it, Mason?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things about this that really works is the focus is back on Shrek and Fiona.
Mm.
And the last movie was just like, I don't know, Prince Charming. And we did it. I don't want to talk about
it.
I can't really remember.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the fact that because Shrek never existed and she had to rescue herself and she's just bitter and angry and, you know, there's that part of her which was just completely, like, stripped away by Shrek not being there. But it's really, you know, like, who rescued who, you know what I mean? They even say that at one point. Shrek even says that. Like, the emotional core of these characters in this series is back, Mason. I know this one is not, like, widely beloved. There is a bit of, like, controversy about it. But But at least they... I think there's a lot of things that they attempt here, and at least the villain is kind of fun and interesting.
And a dirty little rat
and
man.
And a dirty little rat
and
man.
And also not played by, like, a famous celebrity.
No.
They just got a talented voice actor, apparently.
Well, no, he was somebody who worked on the production who then took on this role. He did the readings.
Huh.
And then they were like, yeah, no one's better than you, we'll do it. There was actually somebody else very famous who was up for the role, who I'll talk about in Green Trivia, Mason. So stick around for that, Mason.
And some other delightful cast members. We've got John Hamm as the handsome ogre.
Now, you say handsome, right? And that's true.
Yes.
A few weeks back, we wondered, is Shrek bald?
He is bald, it turns out. Because some of the other ogres do have hair. All his kids have hair.
Yep.
His wife has hair, obviously.
John Hamm's got a shaved head. Unless he got that, like, you know, scalp tattoo situation going on.
Oh, sure, maybe.
Or
it's
just mud. I don't know.
It might be mud, yeah.
But I like all the alternate dimension kind of characters that we see here. I love that the gingerbread man is some kind of cage fighter, MMA, gladiator situation. I enjoy that. I enjoy, like, little tubby Puss in Boots. That's really good. I love this idea of Fiona being, you know, this leader of the ogre rebellion.
One of her best looks, I think.
I agree.
I think maybe her best look.
I think her best look too.
Warrior Princess Fiona.
Yep.
Ogre Fiona.
Yep.
Generic Lady Fiona.
Completely agree. Where does, when they put them all in wigs and stuff and finery in Shrek the Third, where does that fit? Is that last?
Yeah, I think it might be last, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about Donkey with mange?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Sure.
Ooh, I'm loving the look of that. Uh-huh. And just even being able to reintroduce those characters and change up the dynamic slightly. I don't think this one, though, if I had any criticisms, Mason, it's not as funny as the first two.
Sure, yeah.
But the Shrek movies, they're not, like, exclusively comedies. So it's fine.
Three would prove that.
That is true.
But also, how about this? I think the comedy in this one, although lesser, probably more timeless. Because there's fewer references to, like, current pop songs.
I mean, there are songs, but you're right. They go for more, like, cool, edgy songs, you know, where you go, ooh, that's a good song, isn't it?
And fewer Matrix kicks.
Yeah, significantly fewer, yeah. I also like when all of this is cleared up and we know that Shrek is actually bald. That's good to know, actually. At the end, Shrek gets what he wants because he gets his family back and he realizes that, you know, he blew it and he wiped his kids from total existence. I got emotional, Mason. Because I have kids and if I wiped them from existence in some kind of scenario like this, which I would never do, if some weird little creep in a magical universe was like, sign this contract, I'd beat him up, Mason.
I bet you would.
I'd just beat him up. I'd beat him up for even trying to, you know, suggesting that to me. I'd beat him up, Mason.
You'd beat him up for daring to speak to you.
That's right,
I've got a million subscribers on YouTube, you'd say. How dare you, sir? I'll kick you, you little rat man.
It's probably called Fairy Tale Tube. And it's like a magic mirror. It's a pocket magic mirror, Mason.
Because
you know the magic mirror is the TV in this universe. But there's also only one. I don't know how TV works in this
Everybody
universe.
Would be looking at their little pocket mirrors on the bus.
Typical. Pulled by a horse.
Horse pulled bus.
Or a goblin or whatever.
Goblin pulled bus.
But also, so Shrek gets his family back. And also, he got to have a cool day. So he kind of got everything that he wanted, you know?
It was a cool day.
It was pretty intense. It was a cool day. And then what I found truly bizarre is, at the end, they've got Rumpelstiltskin in a cage, and then they just kill his goose.
Sure, yeah. There was genuinely a moment towards the end where, of course, he's trying to escape on his big goose. And
I love that goose, by the way. Horrible. Love
it. They're uniformly horrible, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Big, small, they're horrible. But there's a moment where he, you know, they
it's just a big goose. Like, it's not that different from an actual goose.
Sure. They knock him off the goose and he sort of tumbles to the ground. And I thought from just a moment, there might have been a moment where he just got absolutely $1 million baby and he just cracked his neck on like a stair or something or a chair or something. And everybody just stares silently at him.
Yeah.
But he lived.
And yeah, I know, right. I like how he's all the Wicked Witch of the West situation that he's got. You know?
You know, see, I didn't like that.
Because there's too many?
Because there's too many of them. Okay, I think what happened there is they went... Because the previous ones, you know, like them or not, had a wide variety of villains. And,
yeah, there wasn't 15 Captain Hooks or whatever, I guess.
Exactly. I think what happened here is they put all the production to the, like, the secondary ogres, the handsome ogres and so forth, and then they're like, oh, we don't have the time or money
There was probably
villains.
One
let's
initially.
Just do 100 witches.
Yeah. There was probably one initially, and then they went, oh, yeah, we'll just do 100. And the rat whistler, which I think is his name.
Sure.
The rat whistler, Mason. Now, I know you love Shrek theories. You say to me every week, James, when can we start recording so I can hear more Shrek theories?
Shrek theories, please.
Yeah, so here I've got some for you. Because this one, you know, when you bring in time travel and alternate dimensions, it opens questions up in the universe that perhaps we'll be able to answer.
Is death even real?
Great question.
Or is there only death?
Yeah, probably. I'd imagine.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
Anyways, one of the theories is that Puss in Boots was the one that killed all the ogres in the normal timeline. The idea of this theory is, and it's pretty much implied in this movie, that Puss in Boots was sent to kill Fiona, just like Puss in Boots was sent to kill Shrek, right?
Uh-huh.
But it didn't happen. She captured him, made him a little house cat, and he lost his edge, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But in the regular timeline, he probably killed most of the ogres. Now, not all of them, because John Hamm and his mates or whatever, they're in the little dance at the end. But there's not 400 of them.
That's true.
There's like 12-ish. So he probably killed a bunch of them.
Right.
He's an ogre murderer.
He's just at the party. He's waiting for any of the ogres to, like, recognize him as the cat. Killed all their friends. Yeah. They're eyeing him off. They're like, he seems familiar, but why?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah, absolutely. And this theory I really like. It's the fate of certain characters, including Farquaad, Fairy Godmother, and Prince Charming, right?
Okay, dead and in hell?
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, so in the alternate dimension that we visit in Shrek...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Forever timeline. The fairy god
Shrek in World War One.
Yes. But the fairy godmother isn't in this scenario, even though she should be, right?
Oh,
she should be in this dimension. She was part of the king and queen's problem. And in, like, signing that contract, all their problems disappear, including the fairy godmother who instigated a bunch of the tower stuff and whatevers, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Prince Charming in this universe also was probably just killed by the dragon. Because in Shrek 2, he goes to make a rescue attempt and Fiona's not there. So in this scenario, Fiona was never rescued. This guy probably ran in and got torched immediately.
Nice.
And Farquaad, who should be in this universe also, who initially was going to come back, actually, they mentioned John Lithgow was going to return in this one. You know how he hated all freaks and all that kind of stuff?
Sure.
I'd imagine
even
this...
Even though he's a freak.
He's a weird little freak. I mean, that army of, like, supernatural witches just probably just killed him and he's in Tri Kingdom. And there's actually...
They probably got him with those skulls on chains and then drew and quartered him.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wouldn't have taken long.
No.
Or a little freak.
Yeah. There's actually a spooky Halloween Shrektacular, you know, little spin-off thing where you actually find out what happens to his kingdom, how it's all abandoned and all of that thing and whatever. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Green Trivia, Mason. Now, is it called Green Trivia because of Shrek, Mason?
No.
Thank you. But
Coincidence.
Does it have the guy who shouts Rodney, though?
Oh, it might.
Yeah, it does.
Nice.
Here we go, Mason. Here's some Green Trivia. Here's some fun little facts about Shrek in this movie.
Some fun little facts.
In the audio commentary for the DVD release, director Mike Mitchell states Brogan, who's the John Hamm one, was originally meant to be Prince Charming, the villain from Shrek the Third, with the same curse as Fiona. His name was going to be... whatever Charming is backwards. Or something like that, yeah. Okay. Which I don't hate that idea. I don't hate it at all. Yeah. As this movie is essentially about a crisis in Shrek and Fiona's marriage, very relatable, the production team actually consulted with various marriage counsellors about how the characters should best act. Do you think he did enough wooing to get her back?
Not really.
You don't think he put in the time? I mean, he only had 24 hours before the sun comes up and whatever.
Well, that is true.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, all I'm saying is, I don't know, you know, true love's kiss. You know, can you get that going in 24 hours before the sun goes down?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
He did it in the first movie.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
They knew each other for, what, 14 hours or whatever
it was?
That's fine. Here we go. There were originally intentions for the first movie's villain, Lord Farquaad, to be alive in the alternate dimension where Shrek was never born. John Lithgow was announced to be appearing in the movie, but he, along with other Shrek villains, only appeared post-credits of the final movie, Mason. There's been a few times where they're like, John Lithgow's coming back. Nah, just kidding. He's in that Shrek Spooky Ride or whatever we talked about.
He's going to be in Cliffhanger 2.
I would love that.
Mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. Someone else.
Still hanging.
They find his corpse and they go, that's the guy from Cliffhanger 1. We wonder what happened to him. He fell into this crevasse.
Yeah, that's how we say it in this universe.
I don't know if you know this, but this remains the only Shrek movie to date where Shrek is not seen getting kicked in the groin. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but now that you bring it up, it's the only thing I can see.
Great.
Just an uncrushed crotch. Very, very disappointing.
I agree. The role of Rumpelstiltskin was originally meant for Sir Paul McCartney.
Whoa.
But he dropped out due to creative differences. I mean, they had Live and Let Die in the last movie, didn't they?
That's true, they did, yeah.
That would have been not good.
Creative differences?
Yeah.
Sir Paul, can you read these lines? No.
Abbey Road. Yeah, we know, Paul.
God.
Get over it.
I was in Wings too. Well, no one cares, Paul. No one cares about Wings.
It's a super group. It wasn't a super group.
You're thinking of the Traveling Wilburys. You're not George Harrison. He was it. Get out of here. All right, we're gonna chalk this up to creative differences.
Can we say it was creative differences?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, right. McCartney. He's in one of the Pirates movies, remember?
He is, yeah.
I'm sure he's terrific. Also, interestingly enough, there's no Gilligan's Island trivia in the IMDb page for some reason.
Oh, this guy got bored.
I guess he did. What are you doing, that guy? Get on this.
Come on.
Yeah, I was expecting it. Box office, though, this had a budget of between $135 to $165 million, and it had a return of $752 million, about $50 million less than the last. Still big, though. Still bigger than the first Shrek movie also. But the thing is, they just kind of killed it. It's weird in an era where these still did well.
Right.
They went, let's not.
But did Mike Myers?
Maybe just, that's part of it, yeah.
I mean, he seems like a guy who, you know, I guess feels like, you know, okay, I've, I've told all the story I can, or I've got what I can out of this, and I'm happy to kind of
Wayne's World 2,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you might be right, but you know there has been, as mentioned, various Shrek specials, and there was a
Shrek-tials.
Thank you. Mm. And there was, you know, obviously the 2022 Puss in Boots movie. There's also been Puss in Boots, like, series on Netflix or whatever. But you might be like, is Shrek coming back, Mason?
I am wondering that.
Yes, he's going to come back. Huh. So,
oh, of course, there's Shrek the Musical.
There's Shrek the Musical, which I haven't seen, but by all accounts is a musical.
And Shreckingly good.
That's what I've heard from you.
Mm-hmm.
But you also haven't seen
it. I haven't seen
it. You saw that on a poster.
I saw it on a poster, yes.
Yeah. But here's all the information we currently have about Shrek 5. First of all, his return is teased at the end of Puss in Boots. Oh. At the end, they're going towards Far, Far Away Land or whatever.
Is it like the end of Split? The M. Night Shyamalan move? We just go to a tavern and he's watching the events of Puss in Boots on a TV screen.
He goes, that's wild.
Or a mirror.
Yeah, or yes.
Watching it on a mirror.
It would be that one mirror, yes. Yeah. No, he's just going towards the kingdom or whatever. It's weird there's a Far, Far Away Land, and it's ruled by King Arty, as in King Arthur, and there's a France, but it's not England, or is it?
Great question.
Because it's kind of LA or something?
Maybe Shrek 5 will provide all the answers we need.
Well, here's something from screenwriter Michael McCullers.
This is Excuse me? That's a made-up name.
That's a real name. He's a real man,
Are these all just Mike Myers? Because the director's like Mike Mitchell, and this guy's Mike McCullers.
I don't know. I'd imagine it's just Mike Myers doing that Scottish thing that he does, right?
Hey, Mike Myers, who's doing the script writing on this? Mike McCullers?
It's a friend from college, Scottish college. Mike says, which one, who knows? It's got a pretty big reinvention behind it that I guess I can't reveal, but reinvention was sort of called for. There's been 4 movies and a lot of material, so the characters are pretty beloved, and they're great characters, but you also have to think of a pretty new take at that point.
Cyber Shrek.
Cyber Shrek in the future. I think at this point you could also be like, his kids have grown up, so we don't have to do any of that.
And we don't have to get Mike Myers.
That's true.
If he doesn't
really
they'll
have to do it. But or you could put his kids at an age where...
How about this, though? James Corden.
I'm not even one of the people who hate him, but the idea of that
makes you physically ill.
Disgusting.
Mm.
He would eat a diaper probably. Do you think?
Yeah.
But not for like a sketch.
Oh, I was going to say for like a viral video.
No, he'd just do it.
Oh, no.
I don't even hate him, Mason.
Yeah, it seems that way.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, if his kids are aged up or not in it at all, you know, you can have Shrek can't relate to a teenager because they're always on their little mirror or whatever. I don't know.
I've got too many ogre children.
Yeah. But you notice at the end when he puts the book on the shelf, there's a number of books up there, including Puss in Boots, which is, of course, the movie after this in 2011, the first one. But tell me if any of these titles, which are actually in the movie, are of interest to you. Fiona of Troy.
Sure, I guess.
The Taming of the Shrek.
Doesn't make any sense, but all right.
A Midsummer Night's Shrek.
Oh, I like that one.
Shrek and the Beanstalk.
Ooh.
I mean, a giant would be cool, right?
Yeah.
Shrek has to go because maybe his kid climbs in beanstalks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You meet another horrible goose.
You could meet a horrible goose. Ah, just another goose we could see killed on screen. Yes, please. But of course, this at one point was the biggest animated franchise of all time, monetarily, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, of course, been surpassed by Minions / Despicable Me.
Ah.
But this has made something like $3.5 billion. There might be another number. Here's the actual number on the screen.
Wow.
Ben and Lawrence put it up. Yeah, so I want more Shrek, though. I love Shrek.
Mm, but what this sounds like it's going to be a reboot of some kind.
I think it will be a soft reboot. I don't think that would go new Shrek, new, you know, whatever.
Okay.
New whatever.
Yeah, okay, right.
I mean, I don't know. It's like when they did The Amazing Spider-Man. It's like, I don't need this again and slightly differently. Like, I would rather a continuation.
Sure.
Maybe a Force Awakens-style reboot where it's the same movie again, mostly.
Maybe. Maybe, like you said, like Amazing Spider-Man, just the events of Shrek 1, but they're being listened to by a couple of guys in a van in a subplot that goes nowhere.
Oh, I would love that. But it's the van is it's pulled by, like, gremlins or whatever.
Yeah, by gremlins.
Anyways, did you have a Shrekingly good time with this movie?
I had a Shrekingly good time with this movie.
Follow-up question.
Did you have a
Shrekingly good time with this franchise?
I think overall I had a Shrekingly good time.
Pretty solid return on these 4 movies, I would say.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, they are a product of their time. Some of the stuff is a little bit dated.
The Matrix kick.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a pretty nice, weird universe.
Oh, you know what? The fifth one should be like Matrix Resurrections, and it's Shrek and Fiona meet in a coffee shop and they think they remember each other, but they're not sure why.
Another dimension or something?
And Neil Patrick Harris is there.
Okay. What does he say?
He's a gremlin.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what he says, but he's a gremlin.
I guess it doesn't matter, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Anyways, do you want a hint towards next week, Mason?
Yeah.
Here it is. Hey, guess what?
What?
You can say that early.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you'll have to record it with me first.
Okay,
but
sure.
After that's happened, if you head over to bigsandwich.co, the edits always go up there a day early.
So what you're suggesting is I record this with you.
Yep.
And then I go to Big Sandwich and I pay.
Yeah.
$9 per month, which is a bargain.
I agree, because it's not actually just the early videos, is
That's
it?
That's right.
There's movie commentaries.
There's bonus podcasts.
There's bonus podcasts. That's right. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, goes up there a day early on Monday as opposed to Sunday. Why wouldn't you do that, Mason?
Sounds incredible.
I mean, if you're not going to do it, why would anybody else do it?
It's a great point.
Yeah.
I've got to lead by example.
Exactly. Mm. All right, everybody. We'll see you soon for another video.
Hell yeah. Grab that Shrek, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Is that going to continue?
Yeah, probably.
All right, cool. Great.
Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Days of Future Past movie.
Yeah, but like, who are they meeting?
Professor X.
Okay, sure.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.